sure I need to preach after that. I'm always amazed at how much talent this church has. And I think that as I travel around the state, there are a lot of churches that I go to that have no pianist, no guitarist, no musical talent of any kind. And so, Josiah, I think that if I have opportunity, I'm going to grab you when I'm traveling and just take you along with me. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Well, this is a new deal, huh?
Praise God.
Yeah. But on the other hand, praise God for what it made us do in the meantime. I know that when I've been preaching up here in the last few weeks, we've had the camera set up right here, and to preach to a light is difficult at best, and I don't know how any of this is going to work out, but I was talking with Janice this morning as we were doing our prayer time and devotion time. It's going to be kind of fun to be able to come over here again, you know, and come over here again. And this last week, I did the baccalaureate service for Sirocco High School in Oak Creek, Colorado. It services that whole upper Yampa Valley in there, and it was like a real rush job. And so I did it in our conference room, which worked out okay, which is actually where Celebration Church started a number of years back. And so I did that and sent it up to them, and I watched it, and I went, oh my, you know. And again, it's because I have to stand here like this, and it's hard for me to do anything but kind of move around, and it brings more enjoyment to me to be able to move around and see some faces, especially those that might be smiling a little bit every once in a while. In thinking about that, I had a great conversation this week with a good friend of mine about living the Christian life. I do counseling and coaching of pastors and others, but and discipleship and that kind of thing. And recently, we've been doing a lot of that by Zoom, and I have been traveling, starting to travel a little bit more, and so I was talking with him a little bit this week, and we talked about the different thought patterns out there that frustrate people living their Christian lives. Have you ever been frustrated living your Christian life? I mean, you can say, yeah, it's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed about, which we're going to find out today. And most of it is because, or a lot of it is because, we try to live as people expect us to live, or as we expect us to live, instead of allowing God to live His life through us. We work hard at living the Christian life when God is saying, sit back and unlax, and let me do it. Amen? I know that when you've been sitting at home, you've been saying amen all along. The Apostle Paul fell into this same frustration, and I know that you have read this. By the way, this series is called Sacred Truths from Romans, and there's so many of them. I don't know how many I'll end up writing, but I I got to looking through Romans and doing a little bit of study a few weeks ago, and I went, wow, there's some good stuff here. And so it's always been one of my favorites, and so I went back and kind of started pulling some stuff together and have a lot of fun with it. This letter is actually written to a church that Paul had never attended. He did not start this one. He started a lot of them, but he didn't start this one. And he's writing to give them a word of encouragement and to say, with all the other churches that we have started and that have been progressing, these are some things we've run into. And I want to give you a word of encouragement. So in Romans chapter 7, I'm not going to camp there, but this is where it needs to start. We're actually going to camp in Romans chapter 8, but you can't have Romans chapter 8 without Romans chapter 7. On the other hand, you can't have Romans chapter 7 unless you got 6 and then 5. So it is really one of the greatest books of systematic theology that there is. It is wonderful. And if you can really find some good text to study all the way from 1 on through the rest of the book, it is great. I gave you that much time. I was just ad-libbing there so that you could get to Romans chapter 7 and find the page in your index. Verses 15 through 21 I'm going to start out with. And I know you've read these. You read them whenever you get frustrated. You read them when you're going, oh, man, that's what I feel like right now. And Paul is writing here and he's saying, for I do not understand what I'm doing. Ever felt like that? Because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me, for I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, for the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no, look, catch this, there is no ability to do it. Whoa. For I do not do the good that is what I want to do, but I practice the evil that I don't want to do. Ever find yourself there? Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin that lives in me. Now listen, because here's the principle. So I discover this principle, this truth, when I want to do what is good, evil is with me. What I want to do what is good, evil is with me. It's trying to trip me up. Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's not going to hang around those guys that are already being crummy. Amen? He's after us. And then Paul goes on to say this, oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is that sacred truth of freedom that I want to talk about today. Last week we talked about the sacred truth of faith. This week we're going to talk about the sacred truth of freedom. Because in chapter 8, right off the bat in verse 1, Paul sets the stage. And he says, listen, Christian, There is now. I have no idea what's going on. I think somebody else is watching somebody else's sermon. I don't know. If it's that good, bring it up here and we'll play it. Weird stuff happens, doesn't it? By the way, this is live today, yeah, so Drew can't cut it out. We can't start over again. In chapter 8, verse 1, it does say, no matter what they said, there is now absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, who will set me free? Who will give me freedom from this struggle that I have of trying to live the Christian life? And there are three ways that we experience condemnation and thus freedom. And by the way, you guys don't have this back there. I put this in this morning. Three ways in which we experience condemnation and thus freedom. The one is externally. Externally, when we listen, accept the condemnation of the world for what we believe. Or even the condemnation from the world for how we dress. Or what we do. Or where we go. I had two examples pop up for me this morning. I really appreciate Dan wearing his Hawaiian shirt. And I told him one of these days I'm going to tell him that I'm going to come and I'm going to wear my Hawaiian shirt. And we'll wear them together. But then there would be some that would criticize because I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt when I'm preaching. That's because they haven't seen some of the other get-ups I've preached in. But it is so weird that we accept the condemnation, the critical thought patterns, the nastiness of people around us, and accept that rather than knowing that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The second way, not only externally, but there's a lot of times when we do internal condemnation. Amen? I'm not as good as that person. Oh, I wish I had me a high Hawaiian shirt. You know, or whatever it is. And we criticize ourselves. And we condemn ourselves. You've done that. That's what Paul was talking about. When I try to do my best and I booger it up, oh man, it makes me mad. Amen? God can't love me when I'm messing stuff up like this. God can't love me. God can't use me. God has to put me on a shelf because I messed up so bad this time. You ever felt like that? Internal condemnation. And then the third way The third way is spiritual condemnation or eternal condemnation. And that's one that scares me the most. Because that's when people refuse to submit themselves to God's plan for salvation. And then it becomes eternal condemnation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me." The main thought here is not that God is mad at me. I'm not trying to appease an angry God. Amen? Maybe you are. Listen, God is not an angry God. God is a loving God. God has laid out a plan for all of mankind, for all of time, to be rightly related to Him, to spend eternity with Him, and He weeps when somebody rejects that plan. But that plan can be rejected and is rejected sometimes because we as Christians have made it look so hard. And it's not. We have made it sound so difficult. And it's not. We have set up so many rules and regulations about what it is to be a Christian that people don't want it. And that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. Christianity is believing that I'm a sinner. I've messed things up. Christ died because I messed stuff up. God raised Him from the dead because I messed up. And He is now sitting at the right hand of God interceding for me. Woo! Thank you. That would have been a great place for several spontaneous amens. But I know it's been a while, right? But it is so important for us to grasp that. It's not what I do. It is who I am. I can always find a reason to condemn myself. Am I getting too far away, Drew? Okay, thanks. I'll go a little farther. It's not what I do. It is who I am. I can always find something to condemn about myself. I mess up constantly. I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do want to do. But thank God that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Thank you. We're getting back into the swing of things, all right? Now, it's interesting because we can read throughout Paul's writing to the churches and that sort of thing, and we can see, we can say, well, that's what Paul was always saying, you know, and that kind of thing. But if you turn over to John chapter 3, I want you to see the Apostle John and see what he has to say before Paul even wrote this stuff at Romans, this letter to the Roman church. And he says this, For God did not send his Son into the world that he might, what? Condemn the world. I mean, there it is again. But that the world might be saved through him, through Jesus. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. But anyone who chooses to not believe is already condemned. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You choose not to believe, God can't do anything about that. You choose to believe, God can do everything about that. Because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Now, going back to Romans 8 and verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you," what? "Free." Woo-hoo! "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." It is not this struggle that I'm going, oh man, you know, I got to fight so hard to be a Christian, and I've got to follow all the rules, and I've got to fill out all the forms. And then when I stand before the Father, and this is what people think, that when you get up there, St. Peter's going to have this list of all the good stuff that you did and all the bad stuff that you did. And if the goods outweigh the bads, you get to go in. And if they don't, then you don't. That's a lie. That is a lie from hell. Don't believe it. God is not Santa Claus. My spending eternity with God is based upon one thing and one thing only, and that is the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. I accept that as truth. I invite Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to live in my life and to live through my life, and I submit my life to him, and he does that because he promised that he's going to do it. And I am forever not condemned and able to operate from absolute freedom. Which means that I can preach in a high Hawaiian shirt if I want to. But some things are not profitable. I don't want to make anybody mad or anything like that, you know. Mostly. So the next thing I want us to see is spiritual freedom. And see what that really means. In verse 8, chapter 8, verse 9, it says this, "You, however," and this is talking to Christians, "you, however, are not in the flesh." Now, these guys are alive. You understand that, right? He's not reading to a bunch of zombies, or he's not in the graveyard reading this or anything like that. But he's reading and he's writing and he says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." Listen, you are essentially a spiritual being. Y'all hear that? You are not essentially a physical being, although that's kind of the way that we operate most of the time, isn't it? You are essentially, your essence of who you are is spiritual. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are a spiritual being. Hallelujah. In verse 9, it says the Holy Spirit is in you. In verse 10, it says Christ is in you. Then immediately in verse 11, it says that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And I'm thinking either that's one person or it's getting really crowded. It's a great teaching right there of the reality of the triune God. Amen? How I relate to the world, to people, to my community is spiritually. Not in the flesh or fleshly worldly ways. I am a spiritual person. Not because of anything I do, but because of Christ in me. Because of the person of the Holy Spirit in me. Now, it is true, I can keep him penned up. I can pen up the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it quenching the Holy Spirit. When he's starting to rise up and he says, I want you to go over and talk with this person, or I want you to do this, or I want you to go over here, and I'm going, no. Don't think I'm up for that today. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. That's bottling him up, penning him up. We, all of us, do that far too often. Amen? And that does cause some frustration. I want to release the Holy Spirit of God in me, but almost every stinking time that I want to release and I'm excited about what God's going to do in my life and then pouring out through me so that I can do counseling or I can do preaching or I can do some coaching or I can do some training or teaching or whatever like that. And then I go and mess it up by saying something really stupid. Or by being kind of mean. Or not as kind and generous as God would have me to be. Have you been there? You kind of bark at somebody? I think a lot of us have had occasions to bark in the last couple of months. Get a little cabin, cabin fever. And pretty soon you're going, I know that you guys didn't do that. And really, I didn't either. And then in verse 10, it says this, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And he's not talking about my righteousness. He's talking about his righteousness in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give new life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Wow! Cool. His blessings are new every morning. Yeah. He wants to. And all we have to do is say, okay, go ahead. Amen? Okay, go ahead. I'm ready for whatever you want me to do, God. I read a story this week about a man who has led 182 people to Christ since January of this year. And he said, what happens is he gets up in the morning and he says, God, would you give me a divine appointment today? And he expects God to do it, and God does, and he follows through. Isn't that cool? Just allowing God to be God in us. Now, I wrote in my notes, get a life. Get a life. Not life as the world sees it, but a life as God sees it. Be the person that God wants you to be. And it isn't something you have to grunt and groan about. It isn't something you have to try really hard about. Something that you relax into and allow God to live through you. Amen? But that's a tough one, isn't it? Because it's not what we've been taught, and it's not how we've been raised. We've been raised to think it is what I do for God that's important. But I'm telling you right now, you can't do anything for God except get out of His way. God doesn't want you to do anything for Him. What He really wants is for you just to say, whatever you want, Lord Jesus, do it through me. Here's my body, here's my mind, here's my hands, here's my feet. Take me, use me any way that you want. You're the potter, I am the clay. Thank you, Margo, and the praise team this morning. You're the potter, and I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. Amen? In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps our what? Our weaknesses. For we don't even know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. There are times when you and I don't really know how to pray for ourselves or for others. We have a young church planter, family of 3 or 4 kids. I don't remember which right now. His name's Jorge in the Denver area. He's been in intensive care with COVID on a respirator now for about 60 days. And just about the time they think that he's, you know, starting to get better, he takes another downward turn. Took a downward turn this last week. I went to God this week and I said, God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what your will is for Jorge. I don't know what your will is for his family. I don't know what your will is for the church plant. But oh, God, would you work out your will according to your plan? So that your name would be lifted up. And where your name is lifted up, all men will draw them, all men will be drawn to you. That's really what we want to see. It's not about us. It's about Christ in us. Listen, we are weak. I hate to say that to some of you strapping young men and strapping old men, strapping women. I don't know, man, my daughter, whoo! Don't want to meet her in a dark alley. She's a sweet young lady, but boy, she is strong. We are weak. And it's not the idea of power and all like that. And it's not even the idea of I'll do the best I can. I'll be strong in this. I'm going to work at this. And then as soon as I can't go any farther, my God power will kick in. But that's the world's way of thinking, isn't it? I'll do the best I can and then I'll pray. I'll do the best I can and then I hope God does something else. And you hear that in various ways, and I'm telling you, again, it's a lie. It's not truth. It's not that hard. I am weak. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this. This is Paul writing again, and he has said to me, that is, Christ has said to me, God has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in what? Weakness. When you recognize you can't get the job done in your own power, and you'll rest in me to get the job done, I'm free to work then. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. We don't have to boast about our Christian life because there's nothing I have to boast about. And neither do you. Some of you are going, well, I do too. I'm a deacon. I'm an elder. I'm a pastor. I've been a Christian for 50-some-odd years, dude. I don't need you telling me what to do or what not to do. And Paul says, man, I'd rather say to somebody, I know nothing. I mess up daily. I confess my weakness. I don't always follow what God wants me to do. Paul says, I would rather boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ might dwell more fully in me. Boy, that goes against all the world's ways of doing things. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. It is Jesus that keeps us, not the best we can do. In chapter 8, verse 9, it says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. We have freedom through Christ, through our oneness in Christ. We have freedom through our oneness in Christ. Salvation comes because of our oneness with Christ. And I've preached on this a couple different times here, that I am in Christ, amen, and Christ is in me, and we are in the Father. Y'all remember that? If not, the recordings are on the website. But it is so important that we grasp that. Otherwise, we feel like we've got to do something to be the person that God has called us to be when He's asking us to sit back. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Isn't that what He says? Be anxious for nothing. If you have believed in the plan of God for being in right relationship to Him through the substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, you have accepted Jesus as your Savior because of this, and you are now in fellowship with God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, period. It is a done deal. He never leaves. I have freedom because I am secure in Christ. Verse 38 says this: No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Wow. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! And what that means is you can't even take yourself out of His hand. Amen? God's love is only, listen, God's love is only available in Christ Jesus. It is only available in Christ Jesus. And we look around the world sometimes when we say, well, if God's love, why is, whatever it is, when the reality is that God's love is in you. It's not just floating around. You understand that? It's not just floating around to be grabbed by anybody. God gives His love to those that give their lives. Now, I just made that up, but that's pretty good. God gives His love only to those that give His life. Their lives, our lives. And so the only love that the world is going to see of God is what? Through us. It's a hard truth. Because what that means is that those that are not experiencing God's love will not experience God's love forever. It is a hard truth, but it is a sacred truth. Anybody can access God's love through Christ Jesus. Nobody can access God's love outside of Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is very loved by God. Amen? And I am in Jesus. And because then what is true of Jesus becomes also true of me. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen? which means in finality that I am loved by the Creator God of the universe. And there is now no condemnation, and I am free. And folks, where there is freedom, God can get His work done. I'm going to ask you today, are you operating out of freedom? Or are you operating out of rules and regulations and structure and all the stuff that the world lays on you or that you've laid on yourself internally? And we're going to pray in just a minute, and I'm going to ask you to say to God, God, listen, I know that I've been trying to do this thing myself. You have come into my life, and you're ready to work, and I keep getting in your way by trying to do what you want to do. And God, today I make a commitment to you that I'm going to get out of your way. And I am going to release you to be yourself in me. Would you bow with me as we pray together? God, as we conclude this message today and this time of worship today, we are so thankful for the power and the blessing that you have given to this church and the amount of musical talent that is here, for the praise team that's up here every week. We are so thankful for the specials that we get to hear occasionally. We are so thankful. God, we're thankful for the opening of your word. And Holy Father, I ask that you would take all of it. In culmination, to speak love to our hearts right now, to give encouragement to those that are struggling right now, for each of us to say, God, I want to be free from internal or external condemnation. That conviction of I'm messing stuff up. So God, release yourself in me and through me. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Father, take this one chapter that we've looked at just briefly this morning and bend our worldly thought patterns so out of shape that only you can shine through. God, we love you. And sometimes I know that I'm not even sure what that means. But your Holy Spirit speaks for me. Speaks for us. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Thank you, God, for who you are and these sacred truths that you allowed Paul to write to us 2,000 years ago that are so poignant to our lives today. And we thank you, Jesus, and we give you praise in your holy and precious name. Amen. And may God bless you all. And I think you guys are supposed to dismiss everybody, huh?